Talking about the objectives of agricultural price policy, it ensures a relation between the prices of food grains and agricultural goods. They have to be at parity. So there should not be much difference between the food grains and other agricultural goods. To watch the interests of producers and consumer, this is the second objective, because both the producer as well as the consumer should be kept at ease. The relationship between prices of crops, particularly the price policy, should be such which may sustain the relationship between the prices of competing crops in order to fulfill the production targets in respect of different commodities in accordance to its demand. And it also has an objective to control the seasonal fluctuations which normally happen due to some crops. And talking about the other objectives, it has an objective to integrate the price as well. Here the agricultural price policy should also aim to bring the greater integration of price between the various regions of the state, so that actually not even the state, even the various states of a country, so that the particular crop produced either from any state in North India or any of the state in Southern India has the similar kind of price integration, and there should not be much difference in the price. Then they have to stabilize the general price and increase in production. So these were the various objectives what we talked about of the agriculture price policy. Now coming to a lesson about the effects of agriculture price policy. Let us see what all impacts or effect it has. It has to incentive wise to increase the production. It increases in the level of income of farmers. It also has an effect on the price stability. This policy changes in the cropping pattern. It brings in the benefit to the consumers as well as it brings in the benefit to the industries. Industries why? Because industries mainly procure from these farmers at a corporate level, and with the price fluctuation it is very detrimental for the industry, and hence the stability of prices is very important for the industries for their procurement. Price support scheme. If we talk about it, this is popularly known as PSS. So the Department of Agriculture and Cooperation, it implement the PSS for procurement of oil seeds, pulses, cotton, and these are mainly done through NAFED at the MSP declared by the government. Normally the government of India declares MSP on 14 different crops. This is mainly to support the farmers against any kind of distress sale, and they are mainly procured by government organizations like the Food Corporation of India or even the Central Warehousing. NAFED undertakes procurement of oil seeds, pulses and cotton under the PSS as and when price fall below the MSP. The procurement under the PSS is continued till price stabilize or at above the PSS. Agriculture marketing is mainly the buying and selling of agricultural products. In earlier days, when the village economy was more or less self-sufficient, the marketing of agricultural products presented no difficulty as the farmer sold his produce to the consumer on a cash or barter basis, and somebody he used to sell whom he has an acquaintance. Now, with the development of all technologies and other things, the farmer is selling his produce, and sometimes he even doesn't know to whom he is selling, or the consumer never knows from whom he is buying. Today's agricultural marketing has to undergo a series of exchanges or transform from one person to another before it reaches the final consumer. There are a number of intermediaries who come in between and make their own money or earn profits out of this, and then it finally reaches the consumer. There are three marketing functions involved in this, that is assembling, the preparation for consumption, and finally the distribution. Selling on any agricultural produce depends on some couple of factors like the demand of the product at that particular time and the availability of storage, etc. Sometimes the government intervenes and they take two different stand on the price policy. One of the stand which the government in certain countries they take is a negative price policy. So what is a negative price policy? Normally in a negative price policy, the government try to keep the prices of agricultural produce quite low. This is with a view to encourage the upliftment or development in the industrial sector, and also with a view where actually people don't have to use lot of money in buying food prices. So in a country like India, which follows the positive price policy, because almost average, we can say every Indian, they spend about 2/3 of their income on food. And hence the country like agrarian, a country like India, which depends mostly on agriculture, they always follow a positive price policy. So this positive price policy ensures good price realization to the growers or the farmers, as well as it keeps a check on other prices, whereas actually agriculture contributes a lot to the overall economy of the country. Most of the agricultural products in India, which are produced by farmers, are sold by them to various other people. For example, they are sold to the private sector directly, who procures from their centers. Even they are sold sometimes to the money lenders, from whom the farmer may be indebted, or even they sell it some third party, who are the village traders normally. So products are sold in various ways. For example, it might be sold at a weekly village market in a farmer's village, like a weekly hart, normally what we call in our areas, or it in a neighboring village also. If these outlets are not available, then the produce might be sold at irregularly held markets in a nearby village or town, or in a nearby mandi, which may be few kilometers away from the village. In India, there are several central government organizations who are involved in agricultural marketing. To talk about a few organizations, we have the Commission of Agricultural Cost and Prices, normally regarded as CACP. And then we have the FCI, which is Food Corporation of India. We also have the Jute Corporation of India and various other corporations which are particularly working on specific crops. There are also specialized marketing bodies for commodities like rubber, where we have the Rubber Board, we have the Tea Board of India, we have the Coffee, we have Tobacco Board, and several other spice and spices board and vegetables also. Under the Agricultural Produce Grading and Marketing Act of 1937, more than 40 primary commodities are compulsorily graded for export and voluntarily graded for internal consumption. Although the regulation of commodity markets is a function of state government, the Directorate of Marketing and Inspection provides marketing and inspection services support and financial aid down to the village level to help set up commodity grading centers in selected markets. This grading actually is done on a very scientific manner these days, and is done to separate the produce which is to go to different markets for their attractiveness. Now we are going to talk about one example, particularly from the agricultural marketing in the state of Tamil Nadu. When we talk about the agricultural marketing in Tamil Nadu, the main activities are establishment and maintenance of farmers market for the benefit of farmers as well as consumers. This is to create the marketing opportunities for small and marginal farmers in cultivation of fruit, vegetables, flowers, and various other formation of groups. This includes the production, storing, as well as export. The other activities include the establishment and maintenance of a regulated market in order to facilitate the buying and selling of agricultural produce for the benefit of the entire farming community. Coming to the next set of activities, they do the grading of agricultural produce, and this is done in the regulated markets and at farm holdings to help the producers to get the best possible remunerative price for their produce. The better the grading is done, and if it fetches the grade specific requirement of a particular consumer or particular company who are importing from India, then the farmer fetches the best price available. The next activity is to create the awareness among the farmers about the benefits of grading, marketing, the value addition and processing their produce through regulated markets by taking up training, publicity and other propaganda which they do to promote at the farmers level. One small example would be like somebody who is actually applying waxes to their produce like orange or apple will definitely benefit from the long shelf life that they get out of it. The next set of activities is to set up the agricultural export zones for promoting export of agricultural produce by increasing the area under exportable crops. This is by providing necessary post-harvest management and other infrastructure that is very much required for and the information of prices which is given to the farmers that is prevailing in the international market as an integrated approach through computers. Nowadays, this data is immediately passed on to the farmers on their smartphones or on any set of mobile phones through various apps and messages. The next set of activities is to take up the AgMark grading for agricultural and animal husbandry as well as forest produce for the benefit of the consumers, because once the AgMark grading is there, this certifies and authenticates the produce to a great extent. The next set of activity is to set up the modern cold storage facilities to enable the farmers to store and sell their produce at favorable price and to help consumers to get quality food products. This will not only ensure a kind of elongated shelf life, but this will also save them against the damage caused to the perishable produce. The last set of activity that they do is the food processing industries are promoted to minimize the wastage of agricultural products and to increase the employment opportunities and to enhance the foreign exchange, which ultimately adds on to the economy of India. Hence, the National Agricultural Policy, it seeks to actualize the vast untapped growth potential of Indian agriculture. It strengthens the rural infrastructure to support faster agricultural development. It also promotes the value addition of various agricultural produce, and at the same time it accelerates the growth of agribusiness. The National Agricultural Policy, it also creates a lot of employment in the rural areas. When we talk about employment, it's not just about the farming or growing business, it's about the entire value chain, like the elongation of shelf life, the cold storage and various other grading and processing activities that come into the picture. This policy also secures a fair standard of living for the farmers and agricultural workers as well as their families. This policy discourages migration to urban areas due to mainly lack of opportunities, where people don't find any particular engaging opportunity in the rural areas and the income and livelihood becomes a challenge, they migrate. But when you bring all those opportunities to the rural area, there is no need to migrate and leave their homes. This policy faces the challenges like arising out of the economic liberalization and globalization over the next two decades. Now let us talk about the National Agriculture Policy, what it aims to attain. If we clearly see, this is a growth rate in excess of 4% per annum in the agriculture sector. So growth that is based on efficient use of resources and conserves our soil, water and biodiversity. That talks about the overall sustainability of the environment and our resources. Growth with equality. That is growth which is widespread across regions and across farmers. growth that is demand driven and caters to domestic markets and maximize the benefits from export of agricultural products in the face of challenges arising from economic liberalization as well as globalization. Growth which is sustainable technologically, environmentally and economically. There is a need to focus more on the economic well-being of the farmers rather than just on the production aspect. The socio-economic well-being must be a prime consideration of agricultural policy beside production and growth. The aim of this policy for farmers is therefore to stimulate attitudes and actions which should result in accessing agricultural progress in terms of improvement in the income of farm families, not only to meet their consumption requirement but also to enhance their capacity to invest in farm related activities. The major goal of the national policy for farmers are to improve the economic viability of farming by substantially increasing the net income of farmers and to ensure that agricultural progress is measured by advances made in this income. The next goal is to protect and improve the land, water, biodiversity and genetic resources essential for sustained increase in the productivity, profitability and stability of major farming systems by creating an economic stake in conservation. The third goal talks about the developing and support services including the provision of seed, irrigation, power, machinery and other implements as well as fertilizers and credit at affordable prices in adequate quantity for the farmers at their own convenience. The fourth goal talks about the strengthening of biosecurity of crops, farm animals, fish and forest resources for safeguarding the livelihood and income security of farmer families and the health and trade security of the nation as a whole. The fifth goal, it talks about providing appropriate price and trade policy mechanisms to enhance the farmers' overall income. The next goal, that's the sixth goal, which talks about providing suitable risk management measures for adequate and timely compensation to the farmer. The next goal, it talks about the complete and unfinished agenda in land reforms and to initiate comprehensive asset and agrarian reforms. The next goal is about the mainstream of human and gender dimension in all farm policies and programs. It also talks about how to pay explicit attention to sustainable rural livelihoods. The next goal about the policy talks about fostering the community-centered food, water, and energy security systems in rural India and to ensure nutrition security at the level of every child, woman and man. The goal is to introduce measures which can help attract and retain youths in farming and processing of farm products for higher value addition by making it intellectually stimulating and economically rewarding. The next goal is to make India a global outsourcing hub in the sustainable agricultural production by a supply of inputs needed and all the products and processes developed through biotechnology and inclusion of information and communication technology. It also talks about restructuring the agricultural curriculum and pedagogic methods. These methods are for enabling every farm and home science graduate to become an entrepreneur and to make agricultural education gender sensitive. This policy also has a goal to develop and introduce a social security system for farmers. It has a goal to produce appropriate opportunities in adequate measures for non-farm employment for the farm households. So friends, before we conclude this chapter, so let us first re-summarize what all things we have discussed during this entire chapter. So this chapter, which pertains about the policies in particular, it talks about all the kinds of rural policies which are enablers for the overall development of the rural sector as well as the economy as a whole, which will in turn benefit the entire nation and grow the economy, contributing to it. So we have discussed about the national forest policy. We have discussed about the land reform policies, about the land acquisition policies. Then we discussed about the agricultural policy, the agriculture marketing policy, and as well as the agricultural price policy. And finally, we discussed about the agricultural policy for the farmers. So during all these discussions, we have discussed what is the need of these policies and at what stage or what condition we are currently, and these policies, how it enables the overall development of the sector as a community. We also discussed one example from the agricultural marketing policy about Tamil Nadu in particular, and how it is impacting the lives of both the producers as well as the consumers who are benefiting out of it. So with all these discussions, let me conclude this chapter, and thank you very much for listening here.